morning, everyone. I'm thrilled to be here. I see some familiar faces and some not familiar faces. I'm wondering if we could just do a little bit for folks who aren't attorneys. I see some land use planners. I know a land use planner or two in the audience. What other background and training do people have? If we could just shout it out. So epidemiology, okay. Say that again. Okay, thank you. Health ed, me too. That's my master's in health education. Environmental justice, okay, great. Social work, okay. All right, so we've got a pretty broad mix. That's what I'm trying to get a sense. And mostly working at the governmental level. Can we just see hands for who's in government? Only a handful. Most people are nonprofits, one way or another, academia. Lots of, okay. We're all over the board. We're going to come to a part in my presentation that I'd love to ask you, if not right now, but to be thinking about it, of what kind of training you'd like to see going on in the field. Which is largely what I'm going to talk about, this cooperative agreement with CDC, the purpose of which is to build the capacity of the workforce to use the tools of law and policy. So I have no financial disclosures either. A little bit on Change Lab Solutions. I'm the CEO. It's Change for Social Change, the concept of laboratories for democracy. This is Justice Brandeis, 1920s, another Supreme Court case. Really doing a lot of experimentation at the state and local level. Montrese talked about the 10th Amendment and the police powers. This gives state and local government, it's where most of public health happens. And so that's where our work tends to focus. And then solutions, practical solutions for the common good. So that's what our name means. We work in a health and all policies context, developing model laws and policies, how-to toolkits, everything we can get our hands on and develop for resources for the field, integrating public health across governmental functions and the civic society. How do we integrate all of our work to improve health outcomes? And we have a partnership where we assess opportunities, strategize solutions, and et cetera, to help communities build their capacity to improve health outcomes. But what I want to talk about mostly today is the cooperative agreement we have with CDC. And this is brand new, a little over a year old, and we're still kind of getting our sea legs, I would say. We're still very much in a developmental phase, and I want to bring you right up to speed on where we are literally today. I'm going to be meeting with Montrese later today to start making decisions, so I can't tell you. If you consider yourself a focus group, how perfect timing is if you'd like to see more resources for public health law and policy. But we have four major categories, legal epidemiology, the Public Health Law Academy, and a collaborative process, and some special projects. And I'll touch on each of them very briefly. So I guess I'm doing 4 and 10 rather than 5 and 10. That's okay. I'm not going to say too much about legal epidemiology because Tara just gave a great introduction to it. You know, not only do we want to know what works in the law, but we want to know what doesn't work. If we're, you know, how hard it is often to get changes in legislation. If it's not working, we will put our energy elsewhere. And so really our goal is to make the legal epidemiology as important as the scientific epidemiology. That if we don't, we saw the quotes that Montrese shared, that law is the basis for all of this. If we're going to change functions and default options and reporting options, we have to have laws. And if they're working, let's get better laws. If they're not working, let's shift our energy. We can't do public health without the science and without the policy combined. And so we're public health law research. You probably, if you're not on their email, you should be on their email. They're a grantee largely of the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, and they have opportunities, funding opportunities that they announce to do this empirical research on what's working and what's not, and setting up standards for the 50-state analyses that Tara talked about. And that's what the CDC funding is coming through Change Lab Solutions. We're the prime contractor. We're contracting with public health law research to say, all right, if we're going to be doing 50-state analyses, what should they look like? Let's get some basic standards. I'm telling you, we are so new at this that this standard-setting document was developed last year. It's going to be put into, you know, peer-reviewed publications. But what does a 50-state analysis look like? So if we start developing, we hope we do a lot more of this work around the country. We have some apples and oranges. And when we say 50-state analysis has certain kind of information, certain robust characteristics that meet scientific standards that can be relied upon and then used around the country. So this is the work of public health law research through this cooperative agreement. It's really important, and we hope game-changing, and using the tools of epidemiology to get into the core of public health. Public health law as part of the core of public health, talking to epidemiologists using the tools of epidemiology to present and promote the use of law. We also have the Public Health Law Academy, and really this is to build the capacity of the workforce. We're working at every level of government. We're trying to reach every level of government, and we're trying to reach both practitioners, and I'm going to use the term lawyers with public health clients. We talk a lot about public health lawyers. Great. We're public health lawyers. There's a few public health lawyers here today. We're trying to meet the needs of lawyers with public health clients, i.e. clueless about what public health is. And particularly at the local level, this is the norm. The big cities have dedicated attorneys. Generally, it's the new kid on the block in the city attorney's office, county council's office. They got a problem with public health. Somebody's got diseases running around thinking that they don't need to take their medications. Would you figure this out? Or we just got a call from the mayor. We've got problems from public health talking about taxes and this and that and the other thing. Would you shut them down? And whatever. The person probably doesn't know what public health is. And that's the person we're trying to reach with our resources. What we want to be able to do, and this is part of what we're brand new at, is online, on-demand curriculum library. We have done a few pilot tests. The particular one is a prescription drug overdose that we worked with the Network for Public Health Law. They have deep expertise. Corey Davis on their staff got some funding from public health law research a number of years ago, did a 50-state analysis of prescription drug overdose laws around the country, widely differing practices with differing health outcomes that we're just beginning to be able to trace and track. But this has proven to be a major insight into, you know, a 300% increase in overdose deaths in the last decade, something like an extraordinary increase in deaths, and driving the heroin market too, that we're getting some insight not only to the epidemiology, but what are the tools to address this? They have to be legal tools. There's only so much that educating an addict will do to change the addict's behavior. You've got to change the structures in which people that addiction takes place. So prescription drug overdose, we're doing some work on alcohol, the prevention status reports, a new series of reports out of CDC. We're doing some education about what are the legal aspects of that. We will be doing this year the basis for emergency preparation, more timely than we knew, particularly isolation quarantine orders. What's the legal basis of that, and when can the government act, and what are the restraints on government? We just had the case coming out of Maine that was so important. Could the government actually restrict the movement of the nurse who'd come back from West Africa or not, and why? And then federalism and preemption, so some of the very issues that the Public Health Law 101, I think we'll be going into federalism and preemption. I'm not positive yet. Yes. So here's where I'd love you to dig in with me, and I know it's hard to see, but we had a conference about a month, 6 weeks ago. A bunch of public health lawyers came together, mostly lawyers, to look at what are the training needs of the workforce. If we had to prioritize the training needs of the public health workforce on the law, what would they be? And so you'll see the top 9 legal topics. Emergency preparedness. We just have to do it again and again and again. Federalism, police powers, preemption, a lot of what we've talked about today. More constitutional basics on due process and equal protection. These are terms that the government can regulate can't regulate unless there's due process of the law, the equal protection of all persons. You can't discriminate against people who are similarly situated. This is government authority to act, and so since so much of public health comes through government authority, we are prioritizing the training of the workforce and what government can and what are the restraints, what cannot do to regulate. First Amendment comes up all the time. Can we regulate speech? Advertising comes up all the time. But also in immunization, people use religious exemptions from having their kids and personal philosophy exemptions from having their kids immunized. What does that mean, and what's the what are the limits of government to be able to regulate in the face of religion? We're seeing this with access to birth control and the Affordable Care Act, too. The religious exemptions come up over and over again, and let's dig in and understand those as a workforce. Enforcement. I know in our practice at Change Lab Solutions, this is up all, we've got every law in the book, but nobody's paying attention to them. So how long if we had habitability standards for housing on the books and we still have substandard housing, what do we do about it? What does enforcement look like, and do we have the right tools for it? Privacy and data sharing. Anybody who's working with that touches personal information at all with HIPAA, we can't even share it within government, let alone across state lines, comes up with prescription drug overdose. If you're in a state which you've got borders with lots of different states and you have a monitoring program in place for where pharmacies, how often they're giving out drugs, well, they can't share that information across states. And so there's just so much information here. And we've got the Internet. And how much personal identifying do we need if we've got big data that people are voluntarily putting up about themselves with no control at all? What does this mean, and what does it mean from a legal point of view if government was supposed to, would start using big data to make decisions? And all sorts of legal issues and privacy issues, totally right for that. Again, the Network for Public Health Law is doing a lot of that work. We could do some training with them. Rulemaking and administrative processes, how does this work? What does it mean? It happens at the federal, state, and local level, unpacking that for practitioners. How do we protect children in particular? There's big concerns about the nanny state and paternalism. Well, we need to be paternalistic towards our children. And how do we frame this from a public health point of view, and what does the law have to say about it, particularly when kids are vulnerable and we want to address the social determinants of health? We've been hearing more about the ACEs study, the Adverse Childhood Experiences work, and what can we be doing to protect kids in particular? What are the legal ramifications of that? And then, of course, advocacy and lobbying issues. And if that's your number one issue at 12:30, I'm doing a presentation on that, you can come. I would love to hear from you. Let me just jump ahead, because these are topics that we would like lawyers with public health clients to know more about. And so put on your other hat. If you're a practitioner and not a lawyer, what is it that you would like your lawyer to know so he or she can do a good job for you? That's what we want to dig into. We have to look at emergency preparedness. But the basics of epidemiology, what's evidence? Scientists and lawyers think of evidence. That's one of those words that have different definitions depending on your skill set. How public policy influences population health. Weave in chronic disease and environmental health. Why is it that public health, why aren't we just talking about giving out pills and writing prescriptions? Why are we talking about public policy? Lawyers don't necessarily understand this. You're not born with this knowledge. They have to be trained. And then you'll see many of the same sorts of issues, privacy and data sharing, advocacy and lobbying, public health decision making in the face of uncertainty. Again, this touches on evidence. What do we mean by evidence? So all of these issues that we want our lawyers to be able to understand about public health practice. I would love to get any feedback in the discussion on either what practitioners need to know about the law. What do you really mean? Change Lab Solutions, I was a health educator. I got kind of the runaround. I was out of my skill set doing environmental justice. I went back to law school so I could do better public health law, and that's what we do at Change Lab Solutions, is give legal tools to health educators, people in practice trying to get the job done. What do you want to know really, what do you want to know that's confusing to you that we could do some training on or weave into this? We would love to know that. And what do you wish your lawyers, for God's sakes, would just know about your practice so to be able to support you better? That's what we're about. We're also working on developing a database for public health lawyers around the country so all of us can search and find somebody who can help us. That's in its infancy stage. And we'll be doing special projects, judicial trainings on emergency preparedness so the judges can respond. The judge in Maine did a great job. Not every judge might do so well. And then special analyses and materials for CDC centers and institutes. We asked the group of attorneys that we had about a month or 6 weeks ago, what's our vision for the future? We would like comprehensive training that's influential, that sets standards, that creates normatives for the research and the training practices. We want interactive tools that are on demand, that are connective to the work, really connect the workforce and help transform public health practice. So I will end with that and pass it on to Donna. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary.